Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Moving on to something that is really interesting and I can see very, very emotive for a lot of you, because when I started telling you what is coming up, a lot of you had a very, very interesting reaction, and I'm fascinated by that, because more than two decades after the death of Winnie Mandela, she remains one of the most powerful and polarizing figures in South African history. Because to some, she was fearless, she was mother of the nation, symbol of resistance, a fight against, a fighter against apartheid, a woman who carried the struggle, while others were imprisoned and silenced. And to others, her legacy remains deeply complicated and controversial. So it's very interesting that there's this new seven-part series, a docu-series on Netflix called The Trials of Winnie Mandela, and that is actually reopening the conversations. Joining us now is executive producer Avi Tsukovits, businessman, philanthropist, chairman of the Tsukovits Family Foundation, and someone who personally knew Winnie Mandela during the struggle years. He also spearheaded the African Oral History Archive, which helped form the foundation for the series. Avi, a very, very good morning to you. Thank you for joining us. Winnie Mandela is one of those figures who immediately evokes emotion. What made you think or feel that it was the right time to revisit her history and her story?
You know, I have been passionate about making sure that the story of our past is recorded for future generations, because I realized that the history was always going to be distorted. And if we didn't take the opportunity to capture the stories of the people who were on the stage at that time, we would lose them forever. And I actually took inspiration from what Steven Spielberg did with the Shoah Foundation and the amazing work that was done to make sure that the story of the Holocaust was told by the people who experienced it and not by the people who perceived that they knew what the story was. And you know, that we started the African Oral History Archive many, many years ago because I realized that this window was closing very, very quickly and we were losing these people. I got to know Winnie a long time ago, and it took many, many years to develop and build trust with her. And I realized that Winnie's story in itself, I mean, Winnie was a complete enigma and her story in itself needed to be told. But that we were losing the opportunity to tell the story of the struggle through the voice and the eyes of somebody who lived it, not from London or from prison, but on the ground. So I wanted to tell Winnie's story, but more importantly, I wanted Winnie to tell the story of the struggle as she'd experienced it, because there was no more true version of what she experienced. And was her experience the only experience? Of course not. But it was there. It was on the ground. It was raw. She was really fighting the fight. And it took me years to convince her to tell her story in her own words. And once we got that cooperation and Winnie realized that this would be as cathartic an experience for her as for her granddaughters, as for anybody else, she allowed us to go on this 11-year journey, which was really quite, it was a huge privilege and an incredible experience for me and the team.
What's even more interesting, given the time that it's being released, is that we are living in an environment where words have actually lost meaning and so has nuance. In other words, anything is apartheid and everything is genocide and everything is just one thing. Nuance is being obliterated through social media, through political discourse, through agenda. And in a way, what this is doing is fighting for a space for nuance to exist, because we all complicated, and in fact we know this as well, is that people that change the world are even more complicated, because they're passionate about one thing but they've probably been awful in other areas. That's the reality of it.
Absolutely. And you know what, we've lost context. You know, we tend to thin slice the world and everything's got to be absolute. And what the what Winnie's story tells us, and actually what the story of South Africa tells us, is there's no absolute good and there's no absolute evil. And you know, Winnie says in the documentary, one of the things she said early on, it, when asked, so Winnie, are you a saint or are you a sinner? How do you see yourself? She said, who owns 100% of sainthood? Who Absolutely. The hell has got the right to determine who's a saint and who's the sinner? Let's go on this journey. Let's see what happened. Let's understand the context. And then let's see whether you believe that what I did was right in the context of what was going on around me at the time. And, you know, Winnie was one of those people who knew that she needed to get to an outcome. And, you know, after spending, well, what, 12 years making this movie, I still don't know. I can't tell you if Winnie was a saint or a sinner. And I think that that's part of the success of this series, in my opinion, is that it leaves the viewer to decide. And I think that the context of now is we're at a turning point in the history of not just South Africa, but of the whole African continent. You know, in the past, Africa was, you know, the West sold Africa as being dependent. The West sold Africa as being the dark continent that always had to be helped and saved. And we're at an inflection point now where the world needs Africa more than Africa needs the world. And if we don't remind young Africans where they came from, what we fought for, why this fight had to happen, then how are we ever going to expect the next generation of leaders, which is the now generation of leaders, to be able to shape their future if they have no clue of the reality of where they come from?
And again, it goes back to that complexity. And I love what you said about leaving the viewer to decide. In fact, I had a conversation with our listeners earlier because we had a particular somebody on earlier who people didn't particularly believe or like or enjoy. But the reality is that they're smart enough so they can decide, and it's not my job to decide for them. I'm going to interview somebody. Our listeners are intelligent. They can hear themselves and make their own decision. And I found it so interesting that we almost have become insecure with that power to make our own decision. We'd rather be told that somebody is good or somebody is bad or this person is somebody to follow or not, instead of saying, okay, let me listen to what they have to say, and this is what I liked and this is what I didn't like. And even our but listeners, you know, are uncomfortable with it, which is very interesting.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think one of the amazing things for me is that you have to learn to come to the table with an open mind. You know, when I embarked on this journey, I did so with an incredible filmmaker by the name of Mandy Jacobson. And Mandy and I worked together on many, many projects. And sadly, Mandy passed away before the film was finished. And she was an amazing, amazing kind of documentary maker that really wanted to show the grit and the grime of the reality. But Mandy came to the table with a very, very strong view of Winnie. And Winnie and Mandy didn't like each other. And part of the very beginning, part of why I wanted this was because this creative conflict was going to get me to the truth.
Absolutely.
And even Mandy, at the end of the process, turned around and said, you know what? I started this all wrong because I went into this having a perception of what I wanted the outcome to be. And I think that if everybody, and it's in the context of everything, in the context of our religion, in the context of how we live our lives, the context of the way we look at Africa, the way we look at good and bad, if we can come to the table and say, you know what, there are two sides to this. Let me come with an open mind and make up my own mind rather than letting the media or the Shabbos table tell me what I should be thinking. Let me make up my own mind. And I think that that's what this documentary is about, as much as it's about the story of the struggle and the story of Winnie and good people and bad people. It's about learning that justice is a scale, and you have to be open-minded to both sides of the scale.
Well, that leads me on to something I'm curious about, is the title, The Trials of Winnie Mandela. That obviously suggests multiple meanings, legal, political, personal, historical. I'm assuming that was very deliberate in the name. Tell me your thought process.
Oh, it was much more visceral than that. Mm-hmm. It turns out that the name that Winnie's parents gave her, Nomzamo, Nomzana, which means trial.
Really?
It means absolutely.
Wow, wow.
And when he says in the documentary, he says, when I was given that name, how did my parents know that I was going to spend the rest of my life in and out of the courts of this country?
That's so interesting. So
it's fascinating because every aspect, I mean, Winnie's life is a microcosm, I suppose, of so many of our lives. You know, everybody believes that life should be easy and you should kind of flow through life and everything's simple. The truth is that if you want to make a difference, you have to put yourself out there. You have to be prepared to be controversial. You have to be prepared to take risks and you have to be brave. And if you're going to be brave, you're going to go through trials. And they don't necessarily have to be legal trials, but life is hard. Life is difficult.
That's absolutely true.
But look at what you can achieve if you're prepared to go through that that difficulty and go through those trials.
What about was there concern that because this was going to open up some very, very difficult conversations, some difficult wounds potentially, that it could lead to negativity in the sense of political strife, political issues from within the world of the ANC and beyond?
Oh, absolutely. And it's part of the reason that I knew this had to be done. Not because I wanted to create strife, not because we wanted to make it a divisive piece, but because we wanted to make sure that the conversation continued, that the dialogue continued. And you know, so many people that I would have thought knew this history, knew this background, turned around and said, we didn't know this. We didn't know what was going on. And if we did know, we didn't understand it. And now in 2026, at a time when we really need to remember more than ever what our fight was for, not just our own fight, every fight for liberation anywhere in the world.
So,
this has context. This has real meaning.
It's how did you decide how much emphasis to put on some of the more difficult and uncomfortable conversations and things that, as South Africans, we are still very uncomfortable with?
You know, this was the most difficult part of this whole process. We didn't embark on this as you would a normal documentary. You know, a normal documentary maker does a treatment, you work out roughly what the story is, and then you go and fill in material to tell the story. We went on a journey. We allowed Winnie to go on a journey back into her life, to take her granddaughters on that journey and to take us with her. And as we uncovered one thing, it led to another thing, which then led to another thing, which led to another thing. I mean, Mandy literally spent 11 years of her life with Winnie every single week. And the story became so big and so complex. We'd started off wanting to make a 120-minute documentary. I can tell you this can be another seven episodes. And we could have carried on making this thing even way after her sad death. And I think that the reality is that we had to then look at this and say, look, what was important to Winnie? What can't we leave out? Because there's certain things that you can't leave out because they're so central to Winnie's story and the story of South Africa.
And it is
credit. And what can we use later? So the truth is we've got all this archive, and I don't think that this is the end of this story. And I think that we did the best we could to put together something that was consumable, that was absorbable. What's incredible to me is that when we were making this, my biggest concern was how do we get people to be significantly engaged with episode one so that they want to watch episode two. Well, what's now happening is people are binge watching this in 7 hours.
That is what's happening, by the way. That's the most common thing that I'm hearing about the series.
And that, for me, if there's anything I'm excited about, it's the fact that we got that right, because it was the one thing that I was really, really worried about.
Yes, yes.
So there'll be something after this, and it might not be specifically about Winnie, but the process gave us so much rich information, so much rich archive that will continue being used for years to come.
What is the parallel, or what if we look at this, at Winnie's activism, complexity, nuance, personality, and we through the lens of today South African politics, what are you seeing that is the most striking in terms of echo?
Look, this is highly controversial, but I think that what we're starting to see is that Winnie was right. Winnie was right. What was Winnie's issue with the ANC? What was her issue with Mandela? What was the issue with the process at the time? Winnie was concerned that we were having a revolution that didn't have an absolute winner. And she realized that this revolution had just started, this struggle was just beginning, whereas everybody else thought the struggle was over. And she was right, because at the end of the day, the struggle was just starting. And if you consider what we've been through in the last 30 years in South Africa, the struggle has continued, but nobody's actually engaged with it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that struck me more than anything
that.
Is that she saw the fact that here was a revolution, cultural, social, religious, economic, that didn't result in a war. So there was no absolute winner. And the finding, you know, black and white found each other very, very quickly. That wasn't the issue. We also got to remember that in South Africa at the time, there was massive conflict amongst other communities, which were never resolved. Those were kind of cracks that were papered over. And those conflicts continue today. Those are still unresolved issues. And so, Winnie wanted to win a war. She wanted to win the war so that the winner was absolute.
And there was
clarity. And that was what she was.
It's so interesting. I've written about this where I felt sometimes that we were so quick to draw pictures of Mandela's Rainbow Nation, but it's almost childlike. And it was wonderful. But actually, we didn't deal with some of the stuff that we should have dealt with. We do need to leave it there. They're signaling me. I need to go to ads. I need to do all sorts of things. Witsakovits, it's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. What an incredible, incredible achievement and legacy that you've created here for South Africans. And we certainly look forward to the next project. You can, of course, watch this on Netflix, and I highly and strongly recommend you do.